Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to Quote Me, a weekly podcast that seeks to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you were created to be. Words are powerful. Recognizing and celebrating the impact they have on our lives can comfort or challenge us, or both at once. I'm your host, Lindsay Schlegel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I hope we can honor the truth, beauty, and goodness of well-chosen language, and so glorify God. Let's begin. My guest today is Heidi Indahl, author and speaker. She's the author of Blessed is the Fruit of Thy Womb, Rosary Reflections on Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Death, 67 Ways to Do the Works of Mercy with Kids, and Mission Family. Heidi, thanks for hanging out with me today.
You are welcome. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to chat with you. And I'm so excited to chat about this quote, because when you sent it to me, you said it felt like the story of your life. And I said, oh, me too. So can you share what the quote is and where you came across it?
Sure. The quote reads this. It says, "She seems so full of goodwill, but she wants to go faster than grace allows. It is not possible to become spiritually mature all at once." And that's from a little tiny book called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And it's an old 1600s. Now, see, I don't check my facts. I feel like that's somewhere right. I'm just going to go with it. But he really just delivered this method of thinking about God first in every single moment. And there's this little tiny book, and it just has these letters that he wrote to people. And they're so beautiful, the way they describe just everyday, ordinary challenges of living a life centered around your Catholic faith and your relationship with God. And so when I just kind of picked up the book and was rereading it through it a little bit, and I came across that, and I was like, wow, does that describe the last, really my whole life, but especially the most recent life, some of my more recent experiences, just like, wow, I really do like to try to go faster than grace would allow. And so that's why I emailed you. I'm like, can we use this quote? Because I think it would be so perfect. Easy to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And just even taking a step back, even just talking about the presence of God and being in the presence of God, we say that, you know, everything can be prayer, like every action, everything you do during the day. I think this often comes up in conversations about like being at home and doing work around the house, or, you know, as a mom, people are say about, you know, being with little kids, every work can be an act of prayer. But you need to have, like, first put yourself in the presence of God, as if that's like a thing that happens really easily.
Right.
And I think we can kind of make a fairly simple act of the will to say, like, Lord, I want to be with you right now. I know you're here and I want to be with you. But I think, I mean, obviously can go a whole lot deeper than that. So I just love the idea that this even exists to help us understand what that means and live it out really practically.
Right. And it's really, if you read through this book, and it's short, but it's one of those books that you can read like one page a day and think about it all day.
Yeah.
Because he's talking to you about, like, he talks about going about his daily business and whatever his daily duties were, just talking to God about all of them. Like the little details, you know, tell God that you're frustrated or tell God that you want to be with him right now and share your hopes and your dreams, and but also sharing all the little things too, the little events that happen throughout the day and uplifting people in such to make your whole life a life of prayer in that way. So that's really one of the things that I love about this book in general, is just it's short, it's simple to the point, but he's very honest about how hard it is. Like,
yeah,
this takes time to develop this skill. And this particular quote comes out of a letter where he's corresponding with a friend, and they're discussing a mutual friend whom they call our dear sister in the Lord. And he's advising this friend on how to help her by reminding her to think of him continually and put all our confidence in him. Soon his abundant grace will engulf us. So it's these like gorgeous words of,
yeah,
just continuing to do this over and over and over again in every single moment of our days.
That sounds amazing. I think I need a copy of that book. And you're saying that this has been more relevant in your life recently. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, the second kind of part of the quote where it says it's not possible to become spiritually mature all at once, I think it's really easy to fall into the trap of saying, I have done X, Y, and Z, and so therefore I have now arrived at spiritual maturity. And I kind of went through a kind of a difficult time that kind of corresponded with publishing 3 books in 3 years. And one of the things about publishing is that it's not in real time. So all of those books were written at a different time in my life than they were published, mm-hmm, by varying degrees, which was not that I think there was anything in them that I didn't still believe.
Sure.
They weren't as fresh in my mind. Sometimes by the time you actually get, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but by the time I actually get finished going through editing and like, I'm so relieved that it's finally not in my hands anymore.
Right. Because you've read it 6 times and other people are reading it for the first time.
Right.
Yeah. And you had to live all of it and reflect on it to write a proposal in the first place. No, I totally know what you mean.
Yeah. And so I felt like the books came out, and then I did what you do when the books came out is you promote them and you talk about them and people invite you to come speak. And I started to get caught in this trap where clearly all of these were signs that I had something to offer other people based, mm-hmm, on my own experiences, and that it was kind of, I don't want to say all about me, but I was also kind of using it as a way to measure myself, as to say, okay, look at how much I've grown, that I could do all these things. But really, spiritual maturity is not a place that I can judge or decide that I've arrived there. You know, I've really started thinking more along the lines of, rather than thinking about achieving maturity, thinking about asking questions like, am I right now where God would like me to be? You know, whether that's a really positive place or it isn't maybe feeling like such a positive place, but it's where God needs me to be in that moment. Am I generally kind of moving towards him? And am I thinking about myself in a proper relationship to him? You know, that I'm not trying to be the one that's in control or trying to use my accomplishments to judge my relationship with him, as opposed to judging my relationship with God based on my actual relationship with God, which requires I actually be present to him, and be aware of his presence to me where I can. So I just was kind of in a place where I was fighting. I was spending a lot of energy fighting where God was. And when you fight where God is, you're fighting where grace is. And I was kind of relying on all these external factors. And we can talk a little bit more about any of those things if you'd like. But so I was just trying to move too fast. I wanted to be, you know, okay, so I got invited to speak to this group. And so, well, then I wanted to speak to the next group. And I wanted to, and that was how I was measuring not my personal accomplishment. I was actually accidentally translating all of that into my spiritual accomplishments, which really isn't a good way to think about that at all. And then I was also at the same time trying to be like, because I have these successes and because God has called me into these things, and I still believe that he did and that he's been very much a part of my journey as a writer. I don't think that anything that I've written is like not honoring him, but I was trying to say, keep up this image that, you know, in the case of pregnancy and infant loss, that was my first book, The Blessed is the Fruit of Thy Womb Rosary Reflections. I had this idea that I had figured pregnancy and infant loss out. Mm-hmm. I was a pregnancy and infant loss expert now. And then this last winter, I actually had two losses in a row. And I was spending a lot of my energy, a lot of spiritual energy, a lot of mental energy, trying to keep God out of that because I was so sure that I could handle it myself because I had this expertise. And didn't my book prove that?
Right, right.
And so I was wasting all this energy fighting, trying to keep God out of somewhere that I really needed to let him be. And it was only in letting him be there that I can see how, okay, writing a book, having more losses, and they're all three separate things. And I was trying to make them into one thing that they just weren't. So.
Yep. Yeah. And I think even outside of for listeners whose work is not ministry and, you know, explicitly ministry or spiritual or writing, I think any of those things that we're called to by God, just hearing the call that he has for us and responding to it and then starting to think, okay, yeah, I can do this. Like, there's a balance between that and still honoring that all the gifts and the talents have come from God and they're all meant to serve him. But I think you're right that in particular, within like a spiritual context, if that's where your work is, it can be hard to separate your spirituality from what people are thinking about your spirituality and you know, they want to honor that God has given you a gift and figured some things out and given you the courage and the grace to share those things and to help other people. But we're still human, you know? And I think if you're an architect, if you're a lawyer, if you're anything, I think it can be hard to keep the balance of where our gifts came from and how we're supposed to serve with them when our culture doesn't look at someone's accomplishment and say, wow, God has really blessed them and they've used their talents to honor him so beautifully. You know, they're like, good for you. Here's an award or something.
Right.
And it can be hard to navigate that space and keep our hearts centered when we're having impulses from the outside world tell us kind of a different story.
Right. I always think of it like it's as a writer, especially then when you start speaking more, it's really easy to be seen and treated like an expert so much that you forget to take your own advice and continue following the things that got you where you were in the first place. I wrote a book about the rosary and then proceeded to kind of, I don't want to say stop praying the rosary because I've never stopped praying the rosary, but I stopped being devoted to it every day. And I'm like, okay, Mary totally brought me to the church and she brought me to Jesus. And here I've left her by the side and I think I'm going to like go hang out with Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, you need to go keep hanging out with Mary.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep doing that.
You didn't like write the book and you checked that box. You need to stay close to Mary too. Like this isn't like a phase that Mary's not a phase. You have to actually stay with her. She has plenty more to teach you, I assure you.
Right. Or like when you test out of an AP class in high school and then you don't have to take it in college.
Right.
Like yeah, it's exactly. Not that.
Yes, exactly. I got AP credits in Mary.
Right.
I told myself, you know, I didn't really need to keep praying the rosary in the same way. I could do other things. But in the same way though, God continues as we continue to be more aware of his presence and more aware of like constantly putting in ourselves in the right relationship with him, like this thing that I have going in my life, what does God say about it? Because God doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes all the time, but God doesn't. And if we are doing our best to stay close to him and to follow what he's asking us to do, then we can have some confidence that in whatever situation we're in, that God is asking us to be here for some reason, and we can suffer a little bit better. And, you know, suffering isn't really what we're talking about, but, you know, in the case of those couple of losses that I had this winter, you know, it, once I was willing to relinquish that, to invite God to be in that with me, was to allow myself to be transformed by his grace and to be where he wanted me to be, which is so much. It's so freeing, regardless of whether the situation is good or bad. It's so freeing to just say, if this is where God, you want me to be, this is where I'm going to be. And I'm not going to try to control that I need to do this, this, and this, or I'm not going to try to avoid doing this, this, and this, just to be more present in that own moment yourself while you're practicing that presence of God to be more present with him.
Right. And when you do that, then we're showing God that we trust him. Right? Like we're not done being formed when we become adults. I think, you know, there's kind of the the joke that's sometimes a reality in the church that once people are confirmed, that's like graduation and you check out. But I think even those of us who have stuck around or those who have come back, even as adults, maybe you've kind of found like your spiritual groove, like you found what time of day the rosary works for you, or you found the mass time that works well with your family. And, you know, you're saying grace during meals and or before meals, not during, after and before, but during, I've not heard of. But we can kind of forget that God is still working on us and he's not done with us yet. And when we think that we are done, then I think we're kind of implicitly saying that we don't need God anymore and we don't trust him and, mm-hmm. and we're all set. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But that's not giving him the room. Like there's not hope in that. There's not hope that even if things are going really well, there's not hope that God is not finished yet. I think you're right that we need to give him that space and that really honors him. And it doesn't mean stopping and sitting back or, you know, like writing your book and then, or your, you know, three books and be like, okay, well, I'm all done with that now. Now I guess I got to go find something else to do. Like, no, he's still moving in that. And you have to find a way to let that be okay. But yeah, trying to promote a book and trying to be out there in the world and be like a name and a brand, it can be hard to keep your eyes on the prize.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not even really a brand, to be honest with you. I mean, I think a lot of the pressure is that you have to be like, if you don't have X number of followers and you don't have, if you haven't sold this many copies and you're not speaking at a certain conference or writing for a certain group, then you haven't arrived yet. And so I think it's really easy to fall into the trap again of using those external markers as to how successful you've been. How successful you've been is entirely related to how successfully you have followed what God has asked you to do. And, mm-hmm. and you know, sometimes I just want to be like, but that's all you really have to say about it. But it sounds simple, but it's just not that simple in practice.
Yeah. And from having worked in publishing, the other side of it is like the publishers still have to pay their editors. You know, like, there is a business side in that way that has to be acknowledged too.
Right.
In a two-way street. But like, yeah, everyone needs to be focused on the right things. And I think, you know, from being at a publishing conference over the summer, like there's a lot of people with good hearts out there that are trying to do the right thing. But right. Yeah, so it's both things. It's a business and a ministry.
Right.
And it can be hard to sort those two out sometimes.
Very much so. Very much.
Well, I want to keep chatting, but we've reached our mark, my dear Heidi.
I know. I saw that we were reaching the mark and I was like, oh, I could talk about this all day. I really could. And I know that's silly, but I just, as I have become more aware of this, I just don't think you can take it and reach an endpoint with it. You were talking about, you know, kind of constantly being on a journey. And I've discovered that the most exciting thing is to always see it that way and to thank God that we are not done right now. I mean, truly, honestly, thank God, because we get to be a work in progress. And the more I understand about how the Catholic Church views us as works in progress, the more I love it for that, because we are. Every day is just turning a little bit. Can I turn a little bit more? Can I practice the presence of God for 5 more minutes today than I did yesterday?
Right.
And that can be
God that he's going to put me in the place where someone else needs to see or hear me, or I need to see and hear someone else.
Exactly. And just really that trust that you were talking about earlier too, that's just, it's become the cornerstone of everything that keeps me going when it is getting discouraging or when life happens and it's not going the way that I planned. And it's just really a beautiful thing to see faith cycle back into that as a real heart thing, to pull the ministry, the business into the ministry. The business is at the service of the ministry, as opposed to the ministry kind of being subservient to the number of likes and followers that a person has.
Absolutely. All right, Heidi, thank you so much for hanging out with me. I love chatting with you.
Thank you for having me. It was a great time to chat with you too.
Thanks. And we'll have links to your books and to Brother Lawrence's book in the show notes. So listeners, click over there. And as always, to suggest a quote or a guest, follow the show on Instagram, quote_me_podcast, or contact me at my website, lindseyschlegel.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review wherever you find your shows, and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you.
Teachings for an Unbelievable World is a newly discovered work written by St. John Paul II, then Archbishop Karol Wojtyla of Krakow, in the years just after Vatican II. This is the first English language publication of this important work. In this hardcover book that Scott Hahn calls one of the greatest hidden treasures unearthed in our time, 13 brief homilies provide compelling teaching for Catholics in today's post-Christian world and give fresh insights into JP2's pontificate. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code JP2Teachings, that's JPII Teachings, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.